If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Bling Empire. You know, I mean, I've said it before. I truly feel Bling Empire is one of the best reality shows of all time. I tell you, Netflix, like, man, I mean, RIP Bling Empire, it's long gone. But that Selling Sunset, I just feel Netflix does it. Selling the OC. Now we have Buying Beverly Hills. Those are some of my favorites. Man. Well, I am sharing this chat today with Andrew Gray. Now, let me tell you, you want fun facts because everyone loves the behind the scenes fun facts. Twice, only twice in my career. One is Charlie Burnett from Vanderpump Rules and the other is Andrew Gray. Only twice in my career did I have people on that were so new to reality TV. First season, hardly any interviews, where they were talking and I was saying to myself, oh my God, I wouldn't say I feel bad because this is my job, but I said, holy shit, I think this person is going to get in trouble. That was Charlie Burnett and Andrew Gray. I'm talking like no network, no publicist, nobody listening in. And I have a lot of interviews like that, plenty. And, you know, you get a little tidbit here, you get a little tidbit there. But Charlie's original interview where she talked about the Mean Girls, Stassi and Katie and Kristen, and this chat with Andrew Gray, where basically he broke the fourth wall so much that Netflix called me. Oh, yeah. Listen, we don't take interviews down here behind the Velvet Rope. We need a lawsuit. We need to go through discovery. We need to go through, I mean, cease and desist, then a lawsuit, then discovery. And then about 3 years from now, when there's a trial, if someone wants to come after me in 3 years, but none of this matters, I'll take down the episode if a judge orders me to. Never been sued. So let's knock on wood. You guys hear that knock? But yeah, I got a call. So, which isn't on me. I mean, this is just one of those times. And look, I got to do my job. I loved Andrew. I loved Bling Empire. How many of you watch that? If not, people always ask me what they should watch. Go watch Bling Empire. You know, I complain that the housewives are not rich. I love that everybody on Bling Empire, I mean, people are worth billions, not even millions. This was a crazy behind the scenes breaking of the fourth wall and just exposing producers and all sorts of other things. So take a listen to this one. Even if you didn't watch the show, it's kind of a shocking chat. But for those of you that did, here is Bling Empire's Andrew Gray. Originally aired February 8th, 2021. Hey guys, this is David. Welcome back behind the Velvet Rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only, Bling Empire's Mr. Andrew Gray.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me. Yes.
Thanks for coming on. I mean, listen, there's more to you than, you know, just the past 2 weeks of your life since Bling Empire came out. So
a little bit.
We'll get into it all, but how are you and what's up? And are you in LA or am I just making that up?
No, I'm currently in LA. Actually, I just got back. I've been doing some training. So I got tested a couple of days ago so I can go train, which felt really good because I finally feel back in my body. I've been feeling kind of zombie mode for a while.
What have you been doing? Just like,
I'm a lot better now.
I mean, LA is like really
boxing.
Oh, okay.
First it was kind of getting out into the trails, just getting outside, going to the beach. That got monotonous after a while. And then I was like, you know, there ain't no gyms open. There's nowhere to go to yoga, to meditate, things like that. So just started doing some research and asking some friends, you know, of any really great people that you trust that are professionals that, you know, get tested weekly. They're like, I have a short list, but here's some people. So, yeah.
Wow. So that's good. So you did that. So that got you out. I mean, we have gyms open in New York still. So I guess, I mean, they weren't, but now they are. So that's at least something.
Absolutely. You got to stay stimulated, you know?
Seriously. It's like, if you don't leave your house at all, I mean, you have to at least go for a walk, right?
Idle hands are the devil's playpen. You know, when things settle, just like water, disease spreads, malaria, infestation, a lot of different things.
Now, you're not from LA originally, are you? Or
born and raised in Sacramento, came out here in 2012, 2013.
Yeah. So Sacramento, that's almost the same thing. You're like a California boy.
I'm a Cali kid. I'm indigenous to this land. I have native roots here. I'm a Miwok Indian from the Sierra Nevadas, and my family still lives 5 miles away. My mother does healthcare and education for them. So,
Cali wow. Kid. How come you moved to LA? Like, was it to pursue acting or?
It was to pursue acting. It was.
And how was your, so I read a quote, you said that when you were young, your father taught you to be tough and work hard. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but tell me about that and like how childhood was, like what type of childhood did you have?
My childhood, I feel like was the best version of what my father wanted for himself. But at the same time, coming from a broken home, coming from alcoholism, my grandfather was an alcoholic. Which then kind of passed that stone down to my father in a way. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree. And my father just didn't really expand on his ambitions. He allowed himself to fall short into his vices. And those became his new form of confidence around the home, around town, and yeah, so anyway, that kind of just was my impression on him. He projected a lot of insecurity on my brother and I. And it wasn't always easy to deal with. I remember many, many girlfriends had issues with his insecurities and his anger issues and how he dealt with those things. So it's been a life journey for me to kind of burn that out, forge that out of my soul.
Seriously, you know, listen, you're a product of your parents and like, you know, we all are, right? I mean,
My fur baby is a product of me, you know, like.
You only have one fur baby, right?
I have two.
Oh, you do?
Papa Keeks and Mama Soph.
we like the fur babies.
Yes.
I've seen you post on Instagram with your fur babies. I don't know why I thought you only had one fur baby, so.
We just recently adopted the second one, that's why.
So. That's why. I have a friend with 8 fur babies. Now, that's a little too much for me, but. And her dogs are loud. Like they are, you go over and it's like, oh my God, I don't know how you handle this. She has a lot. So did you always know you wanted to be an actor when you grew up?
I did. I didn't understand it was a business. To be honest with you, again, coming from a broken home, parents breaking up in kindergarten. I remember watching In Living Color with my mother on Saturdays and seeing Jim Carrey do Fire Marshal Bill and her just bust up like tears of laughter. And it took her away from all of her concern. It relieved her of all of her pain, her stress. She got to enjoy time with her children and, you know, in a studio apartment. And that's how I got into acting. That's what keeps me going today. And yeah.
You're like, when you moved to LA originally, you know, it's kind of a rite of passage in New York and LA. If you're an actor, you know, you go through those lean years. Like, did you have like all those, like, did you wait tables? Like, did you have all that like starving artist years?
Yes, absolutely. It's not a cheap town to live in. It's an expensive town to live in. The cost of living here is high. I wouldn't call them lean years though, because those were just in the present years. Like I felt full. I never see them as lean years. I see them as building years. But yes, definitely waiting tables, catering, sleeping in my car, sleeping on couches, for sure. being broke.
Did you
and
ever
passionate, yeah.
But right, like it teaches you, you know, did you ever like wait on, like if you waited tables, like did you ever have one of those, you know, you always hear of like people that, you know, have, are further in their careers when they waited tables, they waited on like someone famous. Like, did you ever have any stories like that?
I never waited on anyone famous, nor did I even see that many famous people. But I got out of it very soon. I got out of it really soon. I can't remember the actor, just to be honest. I was in a film school. I was going to UCLA. And just, anyway, I was reading something random. And it was on this actor. And I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Peter Dinklage. And he was just like, I quit doing all the small jobs because I needed to fully commit to this. And I'd be willing to not say die for it, but I needed to find my resources. I needed to mine my life for materials. But having something so, you know, to go to every day took me away from feeling resourceful. So I took that and it's like, you know, I quit everything. And that's when I was like, I'd rather sleep in my car.
Wow. And then
write scripts. I'd rather sleep in my car and work on a script, work on a monologue, that kind of thing. So I just took that mindset. And then from there just started, I was like, I'm a business. I need to be the CEO of my own life. What am I thinking? I didn't understand. That's really what it was. I didn't understand that it was a business. I first came to get involved from secure my mom of the pain. Then I wanted to do a nobility thing. And then now I need to be a professional in this and create a business infrastructure and stuff.
Did you sleep in your car? Like actually?
For sure.
Oh, freezing. Wow.
I had a two-seater at that time. I had a Toyota pickup Tacoma, one ton, over 100 something, probably 150,000 miles on it. Yeah, I remember being rainy and cold, and I would park. You know where Orange and Hollywood is? You know, yeah. The Rose right here? Those streets right there is where I would park, usually to sleep, because then I can go to an audition in that area. And it would be raining, and I would cry in my car sometimes.
Yeah. How long did you sleep in your car for? Like, I mean, months, years? I'm just curious.
No. Like, maybe days, a day. I think the max was 3 days. But it would go off and on. You know, if I couldn't afford rent, I would just be bouncing to friend's house. To friend house.
Wow.
And just try to, like, clean for them. You know, they come home, their house is, like, spotless. Like, oh, my gosh, man, this is beautiful. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here, you know.
Is that when you realize, okay, this is a business? Like, I need to make this a business? Or it wasn't at that point? At that point, you were just, like, pursuing the arts of, like, you know, going on auditions and, like, let me work and then I'll figure out the business aspect of it later.
Well, I came into this industry again a little naive, and which also brought arrogance. I won a competition in New York, which is called an International Presentation Performers. It's kind of like an IMTVA. It's like a scouting thing where I was chosen like to be, it's called International Agents Choice Award, where they recognize me as being potentially the most, that could be the most profitable model that they want to choose to represent. So that's what I got going into Los Angeles. And then I just got my A kicked, my butt kicked as soon as I got here. So then I just started, I got a little angry, you know, to be honest with you, because when you're young and you're come from a broken home or you're poor or you don't really have your whole life figured out, you want instant gratification. You need the validation. You need the acceptance. You feel like you want more. I want to get there. I'm as good looking as that guy. Why can't I be not on that billboard? Come on. So that kind of plagued my mind for a while. And without guidance and not a strong faith backing that up, that plagued me a while. And I would say about,
I'll admit it, as important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water, and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the chamois cream. I drink one of these shakes, and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 3-10 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE. How many times do you hear of someone who's doing the whole intermittent fasting thing and how they lost weight and they're in great physical shape and their mental health is wonderful? That's all great, but like the whole not eating part, I kind of have a problem with. And that's exactly why Prolon was created. Prolon is a revolutionary nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they are fasting. In other words, Prolon makes your body think you're fasting, but you're actually not. I did their 5-day program and oh my God, I see the difference. I'm leaning out and I just feel so much better. Prolon isn't like any other diet that I try because it's not a diet, it's science. And I love that their 5-day program comes within one convenient box. There's no thinking. There's snacks, there's soups, there's beverages, and it's all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. Well, actually not fasting. Right now, Prolon is offering Behind the Velvet Rope listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/velvet. That's prolonlife.com/velvet for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/velvet.
A solid 3 or 4 years out of that. And then I was ready to actually get to work the fundamentals, go back to school, learn the craft, read every book. YouTube, hundreds and hundreds of hours, every actor's studio, hundreds of them watched. Then you're getting into the mental aspect of the TED Talks and then the psychology base. And now, whoa, now we're forming a character. We're getting callbacks now. This is amazing. I booked a job. I'm a series regular. Oh my gosh, I'm working with an Oscar. It's like just deep.
You had the arrogance, you won this competition that you were supposed to be like the best model ever. And then you came with the arrogance. And then it was when you put that aside and you started just really focusing and taking it seriously. That's when you really saw things coming together.
Correct. Where was I at with my thought? Now I'm in class and I'm going out, but I still have, this energy in me that I felt like the world owed me something. And I really know now through therapy for years, consistent therapy, that it was it was programming. That I don't want to point fingers at my parents, but it was my cultivation. And I feel a little betrayed and or that I didn't get with my rightful share. So it kind of just left me in an angry place. But that was working for my acting. I was finding success in that, especially doing like theater and stage and feeling intense and triggered. I had all these raw things where just how seething, you know? But through therapy now, I know how to address that. I know how to be aware of that. I know how to have a third person point of view on my emotions, on my thoughts, to how to compartmentalize things. That there's 25, 28 different signs of anger management. And it's only affected my life in a positive way. I hope I answered that question. That was
No, you did. I think anytime someone feels like, not just you, like I think there's a lot of people do that. They feel like the world owes them something, like in any profession. I feel like that's just where you start to make all sorts of mistakes in life. Well, yeah. And especially in this business, like, I think it's, you know, when you win a competition and then you come, like, I think that's, there's a lot of people that feel that, why aren't I getting mine, so to speak. So what was your first big break? Like, were you a series regular or was it like being the Red Power Ranger? Like, what was your first big break, so to speak?
My first break was meeting Mara, my first manager. And Paul, my first agent. Those are my first big breaks because those are people that believed in me. They actually scouted me in New York. I'm getting emotional because I did Mara dirty. I actually left her early on in my career after she booked me some breakout roles for me. But I would say she was the biggest blessing. Her and I have always stayed close. Paul and I are always close. I never betrayed him in any way, but anywho, that's been the biggest blessing. Her and I are super tight. And anyway, I just make it up to her every single time. I don't know.
How come you left her? Just thinking like, okay, I need different representation at this point. I mean,
oh, I was insecure and I listened to someone else tell me everything that I felt like I needed to hear desperately, you know, that will be hands-on focus on you. Yes. Thank you. But with that being said, and, still new in the business and not a professional at that point, I didn't do my fact checking. I didn't do my investigating on this person.
Right.
I didn't, what are their, you know, who are their clients? Where are their IMDb numbers at? Where are they working now? What have they worked on? Were they series regulars? Were they leads? Were they guest stars? Were they the hot guy, the hot girl? You know, what is his network? Who is his resources? Let's call around. Hey, do you know if so-and-so, does he even submit? Does he not submit? All these things. It was more of just like, again, an insecure time in my life and a little gap where I wasn't working. I was working a lot. And then there was a gap where I wasn't. Insecurity came in, didn't listen to Mama Bear in the plan. I didn't hold the line, you know, and I went somewhere else. I went on to the other King's Land. And anyway, I just hope to repair every day after that. And she knows that.
How did you become the Red Power Ranger?
I auditioned. Mara got me that audition, actually. She was like, Drew, this is going to be an experience for you. They're bringing it back. It's going to be the 23rd anniversary. I was like, I haven't watched it. She's original. She's like, good. That's what they're doing. They're going to mirror this, right? I was like, okay, let's have fun with that. She's like, with anything else, take this audition, go have fun, go relive your childhood memories, and know that you're going to get probably more screen time than most actors do in their whole life. Because you're going to shoot 3 episodes a week. You're going to be doing pyrotechnics. You're going to be doing green screen. You're going to be doing strings, choreography. She's like, actors don't get this ever. So whatever people are going to might say or stigma or whatever Power Rangers they may have, enjoy it, have fun, and use this as a boot camp. And that's what I did.
And you learned just like a ton.
I learned a ton and ADR. You know, audio, digital recording, voiceover stuff. When I'm in the helmet and Troy and how to speak and project, that was all taught there by the coaches, which they had on set, and it was amazing. And the most important, the best part of it all wasn't just doing the Rangers, but the fandom that you're born into, the family members that you make on that are your castmates. That was amazing.
Was it ever like? Did your ego ever get involved in that? In the sense of like, you know, my face is not really being represented. You know, you're still working.
See, my ego doesn't work like that in a way. It's more of like they didn't want to give us cell phones. They wanted us to buy cell phones so that they can contact us to be on set or when our driver's coming to us. So I'm assertive in my ego, and that's or protective in my ego. I hate bullies. I don't really like to use the word hate, but I hate bullies. My father sometimes acted like a bully. My brother acted like a bully. I would assert myself and say, hey, you guys need to pay for our phones. We're not going to pay for the phones in New Zealand. You know, you're going to give us phones. And everybody's like, no, Drew, it's fine. The whole cast's like, no, dude, it's fine. I'm like, then you guys pay for it, but I'm not paying for my phone. You know? So stuff like that I would get angry about to them.
It was more like that, not about like, no one knows it's me, even though this is a huge blockbuster, nothing like that.
I do my best to, when my anger comes out, is because it's A, I'm feeling helpless, right? Or B, I'm trying to solve a problem. And it's the communication skills. I'm working on my communication skills. I've been doing that for years. My communication skills are a lot better than I was when I was on Rangers or when I was doing the show Bling Empire, which we shot the pilot almost 3 years ago.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Sure, sure.
Well, speaking of Bling Empire, so let's put that aside for a minute. Where did you meet Kelly to begin with? How did you guys meet?
Amazing questions. Thank you so much. Kelly and I met at a birthday party. I was walking out. She was walking in. And in that time in my life, I was seeking someone to spend the rest of my life with, to more than dating. And anyway, she walked in, she blew me away. And I'll say 30 more minutes. I mean, we can grab another drink, whatever. And that was that. We started talking. We talked about food. We talked about travel. We talked about culture. We talked some jokes. And then she's like, I would like to take you out to get some food. I was like, I would love if you can take me out to get some Chinese food. She's like, I'm Chinese. I was like, well, then I'm sure you know the spot. She's like, I'll come pick you up. I'm like, oh, you're going to come pick me up? Still thinking I'm going to pick her up. But no, she had to come pick me up. And I thought that was great. She come rolling in, and I've never had a girl pick me up for a date.
So two things. So you were literally walking out. You turned around, walked back in. That's the first thing.
Yeah, sorry.
Second thing, if that's an interesting question, I mean, out of all these interviews you're doing, no one's asked you how you guys met. That's shocking to me.
No, people want to focus on the gossip and play into the manipulation of a show that's a show that is character arced and brainstormed and mastermind. But that's okay. They need to sell tickets and let's keep their business alive. I get
totally.
It.
And so you're saying she basically asked you out and picked you up.
It was a mutual thing. It was mutual. I know for sure she said that at that time my communication skills weren't that good and I was pretty insecure, meaning like I needed to get points across when I talked, sometimes overlap people sometimes. And she was like, you just talk so much. I was like, you're really hot, but you just talk too much. This could be a problem.
I've been making so many purchases this year and I don't feel as guilty as I did last year because basically I'm setting myself up for financial success by building credit every time I make a purchase. That is because I'm using the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card. There's so many things I love about the Chime Visa credit card. First and foremost, there's no annual fee or credit check to get started. You can use it anywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. And if you happen to overdraft, you can overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualified direct deposit. So build your credit this year too. Just open a Chime checking account with a $200 plus qualified direct deposit to get started. Go to chime.com/velvet. That's chime.com/velvet. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank NA or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Out of network ATM withdrawal and over-the-counter advance fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
But I remember kissing her at the very end of the date. And I remember leaving, like, going to the door. And I was like, no, God, I really like this girl. We didn't connect, like, the way that usually I feel like, oh, we're connecting or this feels so right. But this feels so right. And I'm going to kiss this girl. I prayed right there. I was like, I'm going to kiss this girl like it's the last kiss I ever gave a female in my life. Because this is the last person I feel right now that I want to kiss for the rest of my life, even though I was still 50-50 and she was like 60-40 of now we'll never date again. I kid you not. And I kissed her and we kissed, just connect kiss, no tongue, just connect kiss. It felt like 30 minutes, but it was probably like 3 seconds.
And how do you know she was 60-40 of never wanting to date you again?
Because she told me afterwards. She was like, in that kiss, she was like, melted me. She's like, I've never been melted before. And when she drove away, she was like, I was just excited to see you again. And I remember walking and I was just like looking up like, I'm excited to see her again. This is, yeah, she's not, yeah. We both weren't each other's type.
Right, so she wasn't your type and you weren't her type. What type of girls did you date up to that point that wasn't Kelly? Like, what was your type up to that point?
Well, my type was similar. I love independent women. I love strong women. I love balanced women. I love women who have a great relationship with their mother. who have a good relationship with their family, who have a good relationship in their friend circle. I saw how the friend who introduced us, their relationships were. So that's the same, but she was just more established. She's gone further in her life with the guidance that she's been given from her mother, and the work ventures she's been doing and the people she's worked for really helped raise her, you know? Yeah.
Those are all good things.
They're all wonderful things. She was lacking a faith at that point. She was lacking a couple things of codependency. But those are things that she's talking about in the press and that people really don't know, and confidence. And she also had anger issues in a different way. She suppressed them culturally. So we've grown together, and it's beautiful.
How soon? So like after this kiss, like you guys, she was 60-40, but she went out with you again. Like how soon after that were you like, you know, how many dates, like approximately, like were you just like, okay, I'm smitten? Like, was it like right away?
We went on 12 dates before we went upstairs, you know, and watched the movie Netflix and chilled and stuff.
Yes.
12 solid dates, all day dates, brunch to lunch to dinner kind of things.
12 is pretty, I mean, I know I live in New York and you live in LA, but for any, that's pretty taking it slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So literally you guys went on 12 dates before you Netflixed and chilled.
Yeah, we unwrapped our package, our Christmas present, like really slowly. You know, we opened up the side tape in the back, and then we were like, I'm going to keep this wrapping paper, all that. Yeah, so.
I see nothing wrong with that.
We took our time with it. We both were seeking a partnership, soulmates.
Did you know this whole crew of Kelly's friends that we see on Bling Empire, like before, like, did you hang out with them a lot before the show, or like, did you know them pretty well?
No. And I hope this isn't, no. I knew Kane well, because he was there since the beginning, but this is an ensemble cast. We casted everybody. We went through like this. I'm going to be modest and say 5 rounds of casting, but I think it's 8 rounds of casting to get this group of people. Kelly and I didn't know them. I mean, you know,
is that what you were going to say? Cause you started to say something and you said, well, I hope this doesn't
mirror, you know, I don't want to, yeah. I think I've already messed that up.
Well, I was going to say, did you guys know anyone except for Kane? Really?
Christine. I met Christine before at Ted's house, who's one of the CEOs or the founders of Netflix. Talked to her a minute. And I knew Dr. Gabe, her husband. Been at Kelly's birthday party. Met him before. Love him. Me and Gabe were really tight. Who else? Anna, we met literally right before her Paris party. I mean, going to Paris. And pretty much everybody else was just like, you know, we casted them. We had to come around a round table and what do you think of these people? And let's chemistry feel it and stuff like that.
8 rounds is a lot.
It is. It is for many reasons. Well, first, culturally, you know, to disclose a lot of personal information, that's I'm not going to say a big no-no, but it's just not, you know, something they do a lot culturally. All personalities, you know, to kind of play off each other and the chemistry thing with a lot of shows to make it work. How's it going to work? Who's gonna connect together? You know, like Survivor, same thing.
Totally.
Who's gonna build the alliances, you know, naturally? Who's gonna do it? You know, and then putting the parties together. Everybody has become really, really close. Let's not get that confused, though. I don't want to get that confused at all. Everybody is truly friends now. I mean, when you go through a 3-year process together, and everybody signed up, knowing what they signed up for. You know, the territory, it's the territory, but not entrusting But of course, everything was, we don't know what we're walking into per se.
Were you guys like two of the original people cast? Like, you know what I mean? Like, did you have a hands in cat? Like, when did you and Kelly get involved? And like, did you have a hand in truly casting everyone else? Or was it like Christine was the first on board and then you guys passed the test? Like, how did that all work?
How it worked is Kelly and I were dating. I knew that she had an inception. She had an idea and she's already gone to a Sally Ann. She went to Bunim and Murray where Jeff Jenkins was at. And she pitched the show with, I think only four or five cast members at the time. I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyway, it wasn't, I think it was world timing wasn't going too well. The sizzle, in my opinion, I saw it wasn't up to par. I felt it was just looked like it was shot on an iPhone, the original, and iMovie edits. So it had a good idea, right? So anyway, with that, she kind of, I felt like she was shelving it because I didn't hear anything about it for like 4 months, but I knew I had this relationship the whole time with Jeff. I knew what he was capable of. I know what he was doing with the Kardashian show. And I was just like, I'm gonna let her do this for a little bit. We're still getting to know each other. I don't want to be, I want to help her in every way. I want to see her shine. I want to see her shine, but she got this. Kelly's smart. She got this. She's already doing the route. So long story short is she was like, it's not working. They're not, you know, like the timing. Anyway, pitched it to Jeff Jenkins. I was in a meeting with one of my clients with Jeff actually to help us do another project. My client went to the bathroom and I was like, I got this deck on my phone, this deck that I can just, should I do this? Forget it. Hey, Jeff, you still trying to do that? You know, royal kind of Asian show or for a decade or more? I just, how are we going to do this? It's like impossible. I got this. Can I pitch you? He's like, let it rip. Pitched him, show him deck, introduce Kelly. We're going into production weeks later. We start getting rounds of casting a week later, just... Yeah.
So are you saying this really, it was Kelly's idea for this show and you're really the one that pitched it and made it all happen? It's both of you.
Indigo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This man, I don't even know what I should, this is, I've never been asked these questions in interviews before. So I don't know if I'm overstepping a boundary. I know I signed a contract of what I can and can't say, but.
Do you know how important it is to shift your skincare routine with the seasons? We're in the throes of winter, and everyone asks me how my skin stays looking healthy, smooth, and hydrated. The answer is simple, OneSkin. The problem with most skincare regimes out there is that they treat the symptoms rather than focusing on the root causes of aging. They provide a band-aid, which is so temporary, and OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called the OS1. I've always used OneSkin for the face and the eye, but now I use it for the body as well. Their OS1 face has worked miracles for my wrinkles on my face. And you know, don't take my word for it. In a 12-week clinical study, 87% of users said they saw diminished wrinkles. So listen, OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code VELVET at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code VELVET. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Do you even realize how many people it takes to put this podcast out every day? Editors, ad salespeople, marketing, PR. I couldn't do it alone, although I like to pretend to. I found everyone that I work with now on Indeed. They're the matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. And there's a reason why. Before Indeed, my hiring process was an absolute mess. It took me forever and nobody was qualified. Indeed helps you hire faster, but it also delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. I don't spend hours searching and searching. That's what I love best about Indeed. Indeed matches me with qualified candidates. So listen, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/velvet. Just go to Indeed.com/velvet right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mm.
I mean, I like that is how...
From day one. I knew I was going to be the villain from day one. And I'm okay with it. Because number one, without excusing the behavior, I realize I still have more work to do in therapy. At the same time, I'm the only non-Asian on the show with no friends and no family backing. There's no support. So the intention is the same as what I'm saying. Kelly shines. Baby, does she shine. She's a supernova right now. And I hope she stays that way. And anyone around the world, if you need somebody to hate and you haven't even seen the show, check out my Instagram. Come hate on me. It's okay. We do crazy things for the things we love. And we need to better ourselves so we keep those loves. But just, yeah.
I sorry imagine
background noise.
No, no, that's fine. No, I mean, you know, this is, listen, this is where my mind goes, just because I know how reality shows are made, so to speak. I mean, did they tell you were going to be the villain, or you figured it out, like, for all those reasons you just mentioned?
Well, I put a little equation together. I was like, if they're going to have these families who are going to be a first to be an all ensemble, all these firsts, would they make them a villain after, let's just say we were talking about Gabe. He's my boy. Gabe, I love you. I didn't know this. After you disclosed a private detail of your life to the world. So now going back to you, my friend, I don't think they were going to add something else on there to be like, he's cheating or he's yelling or he has anger. No, everybody already has that. Kelly and I's relationship was turbulent because we were both coming from two different places. Suppressed anger, no showing emotion, no tears, no crying, no nothing. Happy, sad, all the same. Passionate, manic, Latin, Native American, Indian, trauma, rage, anger, actor. It was, but we had a lot of love. There was a lot of amazing sparks. I would say 98% of what we filmed in our life is amazing, amazingness. So yeah, I knew that it was kind of going to go that way.
Well, and I don't think people really know that you're the one that pitched it. And like, really, we have you to thank in the final, I mean, Kelly's idea, but we really kind of have you to thank for bringing this to the forefront.
We do, but at the same time, it's teamwork makes a dream work. If my place is to be this, and I am this, I'm not ever saying I'm playing this character, guys. I gave as much as I could. I gave more than I ever thought I would, nor did I ever think I would be on a reality show. So our intents, Kelly and I's going forward in this, was to show people that two people outside of their culture, outside of completely different upbringing, can make it. Not only in this world, but in any world, we can make it. You fight for what you believe in. You can't always listen to your friends, nor do you need to always bring that stress on your friends. They have their lives too. But what we bring it in the show and what we do in a personal life is to therapy, where a professional person can really give you a real evaluation, a real diagnosis. And you don't just go to just one, you go to many, plenty, you know, until you find that right one. You have to kind of close your eyes and, you know, just feel around and read the books and watch the YouTubes and do the meditations, do the work. So that was our intention. And I just hope for season two, where they can see the world, see me do the work. Because if they, I hope they target me again. I really do. Because there's nothing that they can do to bring me down, really, inside my character. They can defame me around the world, but it's all right. But I'm going to do the work. So I don't want to excuse that behavior. Where I fell short, I want to show the work. And I hope that really helps heal. Because we have a common hate going on in the world right now. Right? We need a common goal of healing. And I will be the guy to take his lashings in the street, but I'll also be that guy to heal. And man, I hope it helps. I hope that helps.
Well, aren't you kind of almost shocked at yourself? Like, that's a far cry from the guy with an ego that won a modeling competition and went to LA and was believing his own hype for all those years. I mean, you know, like your base, you know, aren't you like shocked at yourself almost? I mean, I understand it's through a lot of work, but.
Well, I just understand with Eva, every story arc, acting is amazing. That's what's taught me. On the other side of hating myself, which I did for so many years, is loving myself. And for the past 3 years, I've loved myself. I'm not fully healed because I feel like I'm wailing right now. but I love myself, and everything in life is so much better. Like, everything tastes better. I sleep better. I can give authentic love better. Yeah.
Well, two things. One, you're not the first person to tear up on this podcast, so there you go. And two, did you have any reservations, like, in joining? You know, like you said, you never thought you'd be on a reality show. Like, you were an actor, you know, like a lot of actors have an issue. It's not so much anymore in today's world. There's a lot of crossover, but like, did that, or no, you were like, I'm in this with Kelly, like whatever she needs.
My intention was to see her shine. I never really thought I would be a cast member. I thought I was going to be a producer on this. That I was going to be an EP on this. Jeff and I had a contract between each other, and he honored it. It's just unfortunate I wasn't established enough for my knowledge, for the network to take me on. And honestly, it was really hard for Kelly to also be a producer on the project because of that. But she excelled fast. I was excelling in my area. Anyway, I never thought it would happen. It happened. And I'm happy it did. Kelly's shining. She's going to take off. It's great. Everyone's shining. Everyone's going to take off.
Yeah. Were you, throughout the filming process, because, you know, you're used to making movies, like you learned a lot on Power Rangers, you know, it was great training, green screen. Were you shocked at like the process of like a reality show? Was there anything like when they were filming where you're like, oh, I see what you're doing? I mean, it seems like you knew you were going to be the villain anyway, but was there anything where you're like, I feel manipulated and like, I get it. I just didn't expect it to go like this. You're making a face.
The whole time. 100%. Not 99.9. 100%.
Okay. And so you knew, like you were in on it. The joke. So, I mean, I don't know if joke's the right word, but you were in on, you saw what was going on. So when you watch back, you're not like, holy shit, that's my edit.
You know what? I don't want to pinpoint it just like that because that's bad class and taste, and we're all in this together.
Totally. We're all
together. But I'm going to say like little things, and it wasn't always the production's fault. I don't even know if it was or not, but I just know when you, for me, I produce other things. Like I have a feature out. I have a couple features out. Kelly and I are producing many things coming out this year together that we've had in the works for years. But you look at budgets. Never saw one. You look at shot lists, never saw one. You look at potential locations, never saw them. You know, all these things that you would think, or we're gonna be talking about scenes, potentials, maybe, you know, Kim, you know, do you want to see your father? You know, these just ideas. Those was in place, and then all that went away, and it was more of like, tell Kelly you love her. Tell her you love her. And then I'm like, why am I driving a Mustang when I have a way nicer car in real life? And you guys said I was going to get this really nice house on the beach to do like this little staycation, but I have an Aerostream. I'll be cool with it. It's all right. It's all good. Let's just roll, you know, let's just go. I feel like I'm messing up right now.
Well, it's my fault, I guess.
No. My fault. Don't you ever blame yourself.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I ask these questions to a lot of people, not just you. No, I mean, I get it. You know, it's a reality show, but this is what they do. They stretch the truth.
I wouldn't say they stretch the truth because I don't ever want to excuse my behavior. What you guys saw me screaming, I was really upset. I was feeling helpless, which is like pretty sad, I feel like. But there ain't no but. There was a problem. There was a problem. And I didn't know how to fix it. And it's also because even in this interview, which is hard, is I'm transparent. When I'm playing a role, I know that there's given circumstances, there's a character. This is where I'm at now. This is where I need to be. But we're going to film it today. We're doing the last scene of the movie. So you kind of need to be already resolved. Right? Then tomorrow we're going to shoot the beginning, so you need to be all like depressed and like, I know what's happening. When it came to Paris, it was that there's so many different triggers and setups and all this planning and, sorry.
Well, okay, let's speak about Paris for a minute, because we were. It's not that you brought it up and now, okay, I want to talk about it. That was obviously on my agenda. I mean, right, like, I'm sure, I don't know, like, have you gotten a lot of backlash directly on social media for that? I'm not saying you deserve it. I'm just saying, like, I'm sure you read some of the stuff that's out there.
I deserve all of it. I deserve all of it. Bring it on, you know? Bring it on. There's a lot of common pain. A lot of people have been triggered. A lot of people have been hurt. Maybe someone's innocence was taken away from somebody who berated them. In that scene, we were planning that trip for 2 weeks. Anna, Jeff, and I, I've only was on the phone with Anna maybe like two times before that, just to kind of get to know her as a person before we can say, is she going to be the one that comes in the show? And, you know, she was like, well, I would like to take Kelly and you to Paris, to my favorite restaurant, you know? And I was like, oh, she would love that. We would love that. She's like, and, you know, it's her birthday's coming up. I was like, it is, but it's actually just passed. So we were going up for Thanksgiving to my father's house in Northern California. And I already knew that we're going to Paris. And I already had like a bag packed for her. So when we come back, we're going straight to the airport, right? So the setup was go to Sacramento, drove 8 hours, we're there for one day, then I get a call, oh, we gotta go back to get the scene that we didn't film. So she has no idea. We drive back to Los Angeles. She sleeps maybe like an hour. I have her bag. Everyone's waiting outside with limos. She doesn't know. She's like full surprise. She thinks we're going to the Space Needle at the airport to have lunch because we've never done that before and whatever. She doesn't even know where we're going when we get on the plane. And finally, when we're in the air, doom, we just want to let you know that your flight to Paris is going to be landing here shortly. Here's some turbulence, you know? And she's like, oh my God. And then we're like, cheers, champagne. You see that shot that's in there?
Yeah.
We got a beautiful hotel. I think it's like Anna's room was like 30 G's a night kind of thing. It was crazy. Then we opened up. And that's when we're have the furs on and you see me kind of lean on the wall. That was real. I was like, this is gonna be amazing. She's gonna love this. Anywho, we got an itinerary from there that our week was gonna be to the House of Versailles. We're gonna go to, I don't know designers, so if I mess up, Steve McQueen, McQueen's, is that right?
Yeah.
We're gonna go to private, right. They're gonna shut down the shore shopping. We're gonna go to the caviar restaurant, all this beautiful stuff. Well, I haven't slept yet at all. The flight. Getting over there, and I'm just really excited for that day, that super awesome day that we all know where that we're going to go on. Anyway, I wake up in the middle of the night. I have a nightmare. I shake Kelly. I'm in cold sweats. I feel like something crazy is about to happen. I don't know what it is, but she's like, baby, it's just a dream. I was like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to wake up and no one's going to be there. I was watching aliens, all this craziness, right? Try to make it short. I wake up, and she's gone. And I'm lucid. I really still thought I was dreaming. And her bag was gone. Like she packed all her stuff up and put it away. So then I knocked on everyone's door. Jeff, not there. Anna, not there. Florent, not there. Go down to the lobby. Monsieur, they have already left. They are going to shopping in McQueen and the House of Versailles. And I'm like, this is, by the way, I didn't know we're shooting a reality show at this time.
Really?
At all. I knew that Jeff brought a new camera because we wanted to shoot some sizzle stuff, you know, some fun stuff of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, started getting worried. Then I got frustrated. Then I was like, this is going to be a big problem. Then I was starting to like pace. Then I got kind of frustrated and angry. Then I called my girl like 13 times in a row, nothing on WhatsApp. Then finally she answered. I'm like talking to her, the build. Then you saw the very end of the frustration for 1 second on TV.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to our part one sit-down with Andrew Gray, known to most of you from the amazing Netflix reality show. If you're not watching Bling Empire, you really should be. It's phenomenal. Coming soon, part two, where we talk more about the show, what's kind of real and kind of not real, how Andrew has changed, how his relationship with Kelly has changed, what the status of the relationship is, what he hopes for season two. Will there be a season two? Guys, we are just getting started. I am telling you, if you are not watching Bling Empire, it really is the best reality show I have seen in years. All right, stay tuned for part two. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.